So, hello guys, this is the eighth regular NLSC podcast with me, Leftos, and our favorite Just Ming imposter and NLSC administrator, Andrew. How are you, Andrew, today?
I'm good, Leftos. How are you?
Fine, fine. So, there's not much to go through as far as news go, but we'll try our best to keep this interesting, and maybe we'll have some sweepstakes for you at the end of the podcast, or maybe not, but you'll just have to listen to find out. So now that I have your attention, Andrew, what are we going to go through today into today's podcast?
Well, first of all, it's just been announced by Ronnie 2K on Twitter that we're getting a patch tomorrow for NBA 2K13, or at least the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 versions of the game are getting it. We don't know what's in the patch at the moment. The full list of release notes will be available tomorrow when it drops, but we know that it is going to contain some gameplay fixes as well as some tweaks to Association and My Career.
Okay, so pretty vague as always, but they are going to post the full Saints log of the patch. I mean, is it usually one day before the patch is released or something like that? So it should be coming through today, shouldn't it? If the patch is being released tomorrow?
Probably in a few hours, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So look out for that. By the time the podcast, by the time you're listening to this, the patch should have come out. If not, the change logs should pretty much come out. So we'll get a good, impression of what's going to be fixed at some point for the PC version. And Andrew and I have discussed about that, and it's been a point of discussion in previous podcasts as well, that since 2K has only given Steam, Valve, the digital distribution version of NBA 2K for them to actually put their own DRM on it, so there's only the retail and Steam version of the game out there. Maybe that means that 2K doesn't have to wait for approval from other digital distributors, and if Valve is anything to go by with Steam games getting a patch every week. I mean, I remember when Magicka came out, and a really nice game. It was getting a patch weekly or bi-weekly, as quickly as the developers could patch the game, the patches came out. So I don't think Valve will prove to have to put any delays on the PC patch of NBA 2K13 whenever it comes out. But so even if that wasn't the case, we know that excuse won't work if 2K brings it up. I mean, you can't say that Steam is delaying your patch. Valve has proven that Steam doesn't delay patches
That's right. It will
for no reason.
be interesting to see whether they do break out an excuse or whether that will actually be the case this year. We'll get it a bit earlier. I have to admit, I'm still not that optimistic that it'll come before the new year, just because past history says they're just going to drag their feet on the PC version, just like they're doing with the latest rosters. In fact, we haven't got the latest rosters from November 17th for the PC version yet. It hasn't come out, hasn't been pushed through. So fingers crossed that we're actually going to get it on time, and hopefully the earlier release for the console version will also bode well for the PC version. But yes, if you're going to be optimistic, I'd say be cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, can't be too optimistic with 2K. And if we're lucky, we just won't get the PS3 online data in roster like last year, which completely broke the game. Do you remember that whole debacle last year when the PS3 online data came through? Maybe they're trying to, not do the same mistake again. That's why the November 17th roster hasn't come out for 10 days.
Those the missing Christmas jerseys, which we got a rather interesting answer to that by our own Jiao Ming, who emailed technical support and was told that basically the PC version doesn't get those updates, which is strange because we've actually had jersey updates come through for the PC version already.
So, sounds to me like someone like the proper person who should answer that question wasn't available, so someone at the lower levels who had heard something from someone who had said someone to someone just said, "Oh, the PC, no, we don't pay too much attention on that." And that, even though the answer is incorrect, and the PC version has gotten most of those updates so far, besides the maybe the last ones, it shows the whole mentality that 2K has towards the PC version. It's not selling on par with the console versions, and we've had the late patches since 2K9. We've had the 1 month delay of the digital distribution version this year, and now we're falling back on online data updates. And the tech support is answering that the PC is just a port. It doesn't get those updates when it's gotten most of them. It just shows that they're not trying that hard to make sure the PC is an equal citizen. Besides all the missing features and my team and visual currency and the my player closet and all, they're not trying at all, if you ask me.
No, absolutely not. And people make the argument that it's available at a lower price point, and EA isn't making a PC game, so we should be thankful for it. And I get that. I do get that point of view, and there's merit to that. But at the same time, we are still paying customers. We are still paying for a product, and we expect it to be supported, especially since we know the PC version is capable of getting these updates and doing all the things the console version can. We want the same, and whether we pay less or more, or what. And that's the thing. There are people in our community are living abroad, don't live in the States. I think a couple of our members from Brazil have mentioned paying over $100 for NBA 2K13 on PC to import it. So there are people who certainly aren't paying a lower price point for the PC version, yet are getting the stripped-down features and the lack of support. So at the end of the day, like I said, we're all paying customers, so we deserve better. Can't put it any more than that, I guess.
And I'm still worried about the future of NBA 2K on the PC. I mean, all things considered, 2K seems to be paying less and less attention to the PC. I mean, I could be positive about the game being just on Steam and say that they've learned from past mistakes, that going with too many digital distributors causes unwanted delays when you're trying to patch the game, because each distributor wants to have their own DRM and so on and so on. But I could be also negative about this and say they just couldn't bother getting it the attention, giving it the attention that it received last year. But anyway, it's all speculation, and I pretty much doubt 2K is going to be clear on any PC matter at all. The next PC announcement will be whenever the patch comes out. Fingers crossed it will come before March, and we'll have the console the con the all the console fixes should be in the patch, and so there's that. And one positive note is that there's no PC specific issues this year. I mean, last year we had the crashes during the first and third quarter commercials, which were PC only, and we were hoping that there would be a fix for them in the patch, and there wasn't, and the issue persisted. But this year, whatever gripes and bugs we've seen with NBA 2K, they're consistent across all versions of the game, at least the main versions, the PC, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3 versions. So whatever fixes the console versions get should be enough for us as well.
Absolutely, that is the positive to take away from it. If when the patch drops tomorrow, if the response is good to it, if it seems to fix the all the issues or a majority of the issues, the most important ones that we've all been talking about, we know that we will be getting a good update at some point, so that we can look forward to. So that is one certainly another positive that we can take away from this. And again, it is coming out fairly early for the consoles. I can't remember when it came out last year. I've got a feeling it was December last year, around about the start of the season. So with that in mind, maybe with that combined with the single release with Steam and retail, the single digital distributor, we could be looking at we could be positive about this and be looking at something a better situation than last year. But let's not hold our breath just yet. We'll see how it goes, how it works out. Because,
yeah.
The PC version doesn't have a great history for support, and unfortunately.
Yeah, but no matter the lack of attention from TK, there's always positive things to say about the PC version, and the most important of all is its community, which is as strong as ever. I mean, the modding possibilities on the PC are endless. We had a lot of luck this year with the game, with the art assets being quite similar to last year, so we were able to start modding day one. And I know you have gathered some interesting stats regarding modding this year. Would you like to share those?
Yes, we're actually coming up on 300 files for NBA 2K13 at the moment. So even I think there's only one official download, which is the online data pack. So basically, I think around about 280 odd. Files from our community. So, yeah, creeping up on that 300 mark, which is an amazing effort for the first couple of months that the game has been out. I don't think we've ever had a faster response or contributions, at least for many years, since the NBA Live started to dwindle and we went to 2K. So, obviously, that's a tremendous effort by our community and very talented modding community that we have. The challenge I'm going to throw out to the community is, can we reach 500 by the end of the year?
Yeah. That will be definitely interesting. And I'm seeing so many mods come out that I just can't keep up. And it's cyberfaces, it's arenas, it's rosters, it's draft classes. I mean, I don't remember being able to have such a full updated experience. I mean, the base game is nice enough. Plays great, has a few bugs, nothing game breaking, as we discussed in the previous podcast where we went through our impressions extensively. But the full experience that the art updates and roster updates and even the graphics updates via the globals and shadow modes and everything like that, we haven't had such a full experience as far as since the NBA 2K series came to PC. It's amazing to have such a full game so early in the game's lifespan. It's really great to see that, and I have to show my appreciation to the community as well for this. Really nice point to have so many updates so soon.
Yeah, just a really enthusiastic bunch of people, basically. And like you said, it helps that they didn't change the file formats too much, because people obviously don't have to relearn too many new techniques or wait for the programs to be developed. So we can actually dive straight in, and the people can put their expertise to use straight away, which we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of conversions, which is nice. The last few years of NBA Live on PC, we've been able to do that because of the similarities of the file formats, share assets between the two and such, which really helped out. And it's great to see that with 2K as well. I guess it's because we are reaching the end of this generation of consoles that we're not seeing perhaps the innovation that we did, but the game still looks pretty good, and you know, for my money, our modders are making it look even better.
So yeah, that's the point I was about to make. We're reaching the end of the lifespan of the current generation of consoles, and the graphics were an upgrade each year, so the art assets and their structure had to be updated to accommodate for the upgrades the art department was put into the game. But I feel like they're preparing for the next generation, and they've accepted that that's as good as the game is going to get graphically and asset-wise for this generation of consoles. I mean, I remember playing 2K12 on the Xbox 360, and the frame rate was not as was not really good when the close-up cutscenes happened, when the after basket cuts, as the game calls them, happened, and the game gave you a close-up of a player's face. The frame rate obviously dropped, which wasn't an issue if you had a good enough PC to play the game with. So the 2K's engine has definitely maxed out its potential for this generation of consoles, but it will be interesting to see what they're going to come up with in the next generation, and not just 2K, also EA. And talking about EA and the EA's games, I think you had something to say about NBA Live. Well, not 13. Don't get your panties in butts, people. So don't get too excited. We don't have any secret information to share. But for the old NBA Lives, the ones on PC, something you wanted to talk about, Andrew?
Yes, just real quick, just some housekeeping matters. I am still working on some roster updates for those older games, and they will be coming out. I was hoping to have them out by the end of November. At the moment, it's not looking like that's going to happen, so we might have to push it back another week or 10 days. I'll probably have a news post about it within the next day or two to let everyone know just what's going on and how they can help out with some artwork that I still need for those rosters. But just thanks everyone for their patience and their support. But it's just going to be a little bit longer for those, I'm afraid. What I will be posting tomorrow is and my review of NBA 2K13 at long last for PC. Write up a detailed review, just going through all the points. So if you're still on the fence about it and maybe thinking about asking for it for Christmas or picking it up as a Christmas treat for yourself, hopefully I'll be able to make up some people's minds with some insight into that.
Nice, nice. So, going back to NBA 2K13 just for a bit. If we're going to talk about staff members of the NLSC modding, I have to say I'm pretty impressed with the work John has put this year with all his video tutorials and most recently with the Community Bolas mod that he brought out. I mean, he's even inviting the community. So if you're listening to this and you want to be a part of a pickup mod that has each player have their own jerseys and multiple new courts and everything. So if you want to be a part of that and want to be included as a player, check out his thread in the NBA 2K13 releases and previews forum. And just give him the description based on what he's asking. Give him a cyber face if you created one, or the create a player parameters. And if there's still space in the roster, he'll be sure to get you in. It's a great mod. It's stretching. It's doing what I love mods to do. It's doing things the game wasn't really designed to do, because each player has their own jersey, but they're playing in a court and not just the outdoors blacktop court. And someone trying to find who it was, TGS, so good, found out how to get players being in casual clothing and even suits in the game while in the mod by using the Turbo Trainer tool. So it's going to be a pretty fun mod to play when everything comes together. I'm really looking forward to it. I just have no idea how to create a cyber face of my own, so I'm just going to grab one of the fictional ones. Maybe one of the weirdest ones just to stand out and get myself in the mod, definitely.
No, mods like that are a lot of fun. I mean, we do some great work getting the game up to date and realistic and reflecting the real NBA more so than the official updates can do. I can slip another slide against the official updates in there. But those special ones, the fun mods that add different things and really, as you say, explore the things that the game wasn't designed to do, they can just add that whole new experience that when you just have a bit of spare time and you're done with your playing your association or your my career for the day, you can just sit back and have some fun with something that's a little different.
Yeah, definitely agree. And John has put up, he's doing some live streaming and recording everything over at twitch.tv, so you can check that out. And he has a 2.5 hour recording of how he started of the first iteration of the Community Bolas mod and all the work he did, all the preparation, the work he did via hex editing, the work he did through the roster editor, all the problems he encountered. So it's one of the most interesting videos out there. I mean, the gameplay videos and all the montage videos are really nice, but you see a total conversion mod, how it's created from step one without even the Redditor being out, and all the preparation that goes through and all the issues John encounters and how he works around them is a really interesting thing to see. I mean, really, really nice video. So if you're interested in modding or was or have been curious about how these mods are created, just instead of watching a movie and one night, just go to his Twitch.tv channel and check that video out. It's definitely really interesting to see how all that comes together and results in such a fun mod. It's especially interesting to see him go through the edit player options to find which hairstyles are suitable for women, which are which options are suitable for children, because his mod includes women, children, old people, college guys, adult guys, everything. And it's a really fun process, really interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, John's just killing it with the tutorials and the mods this year, and it's definitely worth checking out that kind of stuff if you're interested in getting into modding yourself, because you get an idea of the whole process and the creativity behind searching through the game's files and finding out just exactly what everything does, where it is, and what you can do with it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's nice to see the community cooperating, not only on releasing stuff, but on sharing knowledge. I mean, that's one of the things I most appreciate about the members that actually take the time to not just release stuff, but to share what they know about the process on how its thing is made, and share their research with modding. And our NBA 2K13 tutorial section in the forum is really full right now, full of information, full of new tutorials. Some of the 2K12 tutorials apply, some have been updated, and it's nice to see everyone contributing and not just saying that's my work, like it or not, it is how it is, but some people are actually going out of their way to share the whole process and saying, here it is, if you want to improve on it, fine, go ahead. Let's see what the best method we can come up with is. And it's really nice to see the whole community coming together on stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I couldn't say it any better. It's great to see. We have had some people in the past who haven't always followed that philosophy, but they've usually been encouraged to leave. And the community we've got at the moment is really going strong. And like we said before, I think it's only just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, yeah. It will be, as I said in the last podcast, it will be really interesting to see where we'll be modding-wise when summer comes, when usually that's the peak period of modding. We've had all the mods we could possibly want come out. There's some roster mods being updated during the off-season. But it will be really interesting to compare a fully modded 2K12 experience compared to a fully modded 2K13 experience when the summer comes. And it's an exciting year to be an NBA 2K fan, definitely if you have the game on PC. And it really justifies the modding experience, especially this year, really justifies grabbing the PC version more so than any other year, even with the missing features and then the delayed support and whatever. It's really cheap. It's only going to get cheaper as time goes on. So if you're still waiting, you should be able to grab the game for those crazy $20 or $15 offers that come up later in the year. And it will be one of the best years, especially when Redditor comes out in a month or so, where things just blow up. Total conversions are being made. People are more encouraged to work on art and cyber faces and jerseys, knowing that roster editing is going to be that much easier, and total conversions come out. And if the ultimate base roster, the whole project comes over to 2K13, I can't imagine. It will be huge. I'm pretty sure it will be huge. And we had an ultimate base roster release for 2K12 last week, version 34, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right. Folks are still updating that, and it's just going as strong as ever with more and more retro season mods, as well as the current season rosters and continues to be well received and impresses everyone that that downloads it.
Yeah. I mean, we've said that 2K12, the ultimate base roster for 2K12, brought a lot of hardcore console fans, brought them to the PC and had them try out the version just to check what everything is ultimate base roster was about, and it really stretches the possibilities of modding. It's community work at its best, and it has really stretched the game. The roster has been as full as it can possibly get for quite some time now, so they started focusing on season mods. And now version 34 includes 15 full season mods, which pretty much allow you to rewrite history. And along with the draft classes, you're just able to pick a year in the history of the NBA, start from there, and just write your own history, see what the NBA would come out in an alternate universe. So it's really a great experience. If you're still undecided on NBA 2K13 and we haven't managed to persuade you to actually grab the game and buy it yet, or you're waiting for a special offer, a discount out of the really low price that it is to begin with, you can be sure that Ultimate Base Roster can keep your interest in NBA 2K12 at the same level until you finally decide to grab NBA 2K13. So there's always that to look out for in NBA 2K12, the updates. And I know it's going to be hard to restart everything, and some people might be discouraged since Ultimate Base Roster is so big right now, and it's going to have to start from scratch. I mean, art could be converted if there's enough interest, but the roster is going to need a lot of work from the ground up. But if we do, I have to get this message out there. NBA 2K13 is a great game. NBA 2K12 was a disappointing game for most that got good with all the mods. So Please bring Ultimate Base Roster to 2K13 because it is a great game to begin with, and it's going to be just a perfect game. I really mean that, a perfect game, if we get all the total conversions and the mod of the caliber of Ultimate Base Roster on NBA 2K13.
Just waiting for Redditor, basically.
Yeah. And Vlad has been hard at work on that, and he's trying to keep the community updated, but I can only imagine how much work it is to, decode pretty much every aspect of the rosters. I mean, all the work I've put on roster editor with the help of the community has been really hard, and I realized that it's pretty much a full-time job. I pretty much... Even though we don't really appreciate people charging for mods, Redditor is on a class of its own. The work it requires, and I can talk out of experience now, not just speculating, it's a full-time job. It's really a full-time job. So if you're going to miss out on the money you would be otherwise making by working, I have to say that Vlad, whenever he comes out with Redditor, deserves your support, because Redditor is what brought us, is what made stuff like Ultimate Base Roster possible. Without Redditor, they just wouldn't be possible. And I mean, if you're going to spend $20, $25 on the game, and then maybe $6 or $10 on Redditor to support Vlad, you're still spending $35 to $40, and you're still getting, with all the mods that are possible with Redditor, you're still getting a much fuller experience than the console versions will ever be able to provide. So I guess, yeah, I have to say it's money well spent, if you ask me.
Definitely, and you can obviously edit the game yourself. You can take advantage of what the community does, but if you don't like, don't exactly agree with all the ratings, or want to change this or that, and tweak it, or tweak your own My Career or whatever, then you've got that opportunity as well. It's definitely worth just dropping a few bucks on that, just to support all his efforts, as you said, and and you can do a lot of cool stuff with it.
I mean, besides Ultimate Base Roster, we get all those other foreign leagues. I've seen the French League come up, the teams from the Euro League from Europe show up, so you can actually play with those, and the national teams, the FIBA Championship. It was actually a major point. I mean, with the introduction of the 92 and 2012 USA teams, it was a question: does 2K have the FIBA license finally? Are they going to get other national teams to pit against those great USA national teams? Because there was a poll put up by John, and the majority are saying that after trying out the USA national teams for a while, they haven't used them since. And it's only so much you can do with those teams. You can pit them against themselves, but it's just plain unfair pitting them against regular NBA teams. But it would be really interesting to, you know, recreate some of the matchups from this year's FIBA Championship and stuff like that. The FIBA modes are only possible via Redditor. So another point another point made to support Vlad and all his efforts to give us Redditor each year and make the game so moddable and allow us to have all that stuff that the console versions just never get. Okay, so enough with that. But you did mention the fun we like to have in association, and before the podcast in our chat, I was discussing how much I appreciate Kyle Singler for the Pistons. I mentioned that in the previous podcast as well, and I'm happy to have a roster that allows me to use him, because 2K has obviously neglected to put him in any of the rosters yet, even though he's a starter right now for the Pistons. How much I like him. And I have been playing my association. I have been continuing it. It's been really fun to be able to play, but it's been a mode that has pretty much been neglected by 2K. And It's deep enough, as we've discussed, but we in the podcast before the game's release, we were discussing with John and Patrick how we'd love to see some more. Mainly, I was bringing the point up because I'm the main association guy out of the along with you. How much we'd like to see it finally improved, even though it is deep enough. So I know you wanted to make it a point of discussion in this week's podcast, the association dynasty modes in TK and Live, respectively.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I still feel it, along with my player, my career, that is the one where the most replay value is. Play multiple seasons, start over again, etc., etc. I believe that the mode should have as much realism as possible. I'm stumbling over my words here.
It's okay.
Obviously, with a mode like Association and Dynasty, the further you get along, the more fancy has to come into the whole concept, because you need generated players, or you can use custom draft classes, of course, in NBA 2K. But the further you go along, you've got to for the first years, you sort of want to see that see it sort of play out like you would expect the real NBA 2, the play progression and decline sort of being along the lines of what you'd expect based on the current trends and how players are on the way up or on the way down in real life. But part of that responsibility comes down to the user as well, because if you make a lot of trades, if you're wheeling and dealing sort of every single game, I mean, for my money, that kind of ruins the experience after a while. Have you noticed that when you're playing an association, that you make too many moves or sort of tinker a little bit too much, that it starts to interfere with the experience? You start to think, oh, this is getting a little bit out of hand.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, and I find myself being too loyal to the players, to the Pistons players, and not being that willing to trade even the worst of them. I usually wait until January, and then I check out the metric stats and see if a player is really performing bad, and if I myself feel frustrated using him and I feel it's a realistic trade, then and only then will I think about trading. And then I make an effort of making sure the trade is realistic. I have found myself, being, I've used the trade finder that TK has, but some trades feel just unfair. There's, you see those trades offered, the CPU is going to accept, but you're left thinking, no, there's no way they would give up those players just to get this player that I know plays bad. And I mean, we've seen players change teams and actually perform a lot better. And I have to say that Richard Hamilton, while on the Pistons in his final years, was really declining, and he was he butted head with Coach Huster. He was really disgruntled ever since Billups was traded, and he and he's back to he's not his usual self, because obviously he's aged, but he's obviously playing better with the Bulls than he was playing with the Pistons in his final years there. But I feel that 2K doesn't take performance that much into account when judging whether a trade is realistic. I feel it's only judging the trade by ratings and the player's salary. And I'd love to see performance play a role into that. I'd like to see those trade value stars that 2K has change throughout the season, depending on whether a player that was expected to play bad actually plays really good, so his trade value is up. Or if a player starts playing bad, I want to see his trade value lowered. And I've seen a really good idea being brought up in both our forums and Operation Sports about team needing to have certain roster building strategies. If you're going to have the association mode be whatever GM would, given all the options a GM would have, you'd need to be able to say that that team is a major city team, so it's really attractive for free agents. We know Los Angeles is really attractive to free agents. New York is really attractive to free agents because of the lifestyle and all the money these teams are able to offer, because they don't worry about the luxury taxes that much. And the GMs that are behind them don't worry, and the presidents, of course, don't worry about the luxury tax as much. While other small market teams look to rebuild more via the draft market. So I'd love to see stuff like that introduced in the game. And it's been a point of trades, unrealistic trades happening, trades you wouldn't expect happen, and especially that was a major point of in my player last year, where if you requested a trade, the team accepting you would usually trade all its major stars just to have you in its roster, which made no sense. You requested the trade to the Lakers to be able to play alongside Kobe, and then you saw Kobe being traded to the Bobcats just for the Lakers to have you, which made absolutely no sense. But it's I found myself, while in 2K11, I was much more hesitant to trade. While in 2K12, which was a frustrating experience at times, I finally said, oh, I give up. I'm going to just try to make that experience a bit more interesting. So I found myself trading players a whole lot more just to get something new out of the game that was frustrating me all too often. Well, in 2K13, I'm back to my 2K11 ways. I haven't made a trade yet. I'm just looking to build the way the Pistons are looking to build, by just releasing players in the coming offseason, which have expiring contracts, and trying to get a star if possible, or a very good player in the offseason. So that's pretty much my huge monologue on that question and everything around it. What's your view on all those?
Trade too much. I've found that I've actually lost interest about 20 20 games because the team's just stopped resembling reality too much, and there's the stars have moved around a little bit too much, and the league just looks weird and it's unbalanced. And I find that those are the games that I find I want to start over. I just start simulating the games because it's just become a little bit it's not interesting then, and it's we find that you've stacked the team a little bit too much because the CPU is so easy to take advantage of. I'm pretty sure most of the trade logic is in 2K is much like NBA Live in that it goes on overall ratings. It does have some logic on whether you're trying to trade positions. If you're making a trade that's going to leave a team too weak at a position, they usually turn it down, or there's some players that are just...
Not sure about that. I mean, I tried to do an association story last year, and I was watching every trade happen, and I saw a team end up with 5 power forwards after making a trade that was obviously to get rid of a big contract, maybe to rebuild in the offseason. I don't know if the AI, if the roster AI goes that far, but that's what I, imagined was happening. But they ended up with 5 power forwards. Granted, 2 of them had really small expiring contracts, but even so, you're pretty much ruining your year if you're going to have 5 power forwards, and most of them don't even have a secondary position to say, okay, that's a power forward, but maybe they don't have enough small forwards, but most of their 4s can also play at 3, but that wasn't the case. So I'm not really sure if they're actually trading by position, or maybe if it's as big a factor as it should be, but go on.
It probably isn't, and I think certainly between CPU control teams, I think that happens. I was talking more about trying to fleece the PC, offering a trade that's going to leave them too weak to position. I've found that they do turn that down if it really doesn't make sense, even if the ratings are fairly even. But but generally speaking, if you can get the ratings to line up, you're getting a trade through. So you can package a few players together to get a whole team of superstars, which does happen. Obviously, we've seen it happen that. I think pretty much every time a superstar gets traded, it's very rare that you actually get equal value back. I think both times that Wilt Chamberlain was traded back in the day, just for players whose names I can't remember off the top of my head, so that should let you know, just how offsided some of those trades were. Charles Barkley was traded for, I believe, Jeff Mosek, Tim Perry, and somebody else, possibly, back when he was traded from the Sixers to the Suns back in 1992. So, I mean, lopsided trades do happen, but not as much as they do or that we're able to do in the game. And I feel, if people enjoy doing that, that's great. I'm a big believer in playing the game how you want to play it and getting the experience you want. But when people are asking for advice of how do I have a successful association or dynasty game and how do I keep interest, my recommendation would be to avoid trading too much. So play a couple of months with your team and see how everyone plays, and just trade the players, as you said, that aren't really working out, and try and make deals that you might see in real life, because otherwise you can end up with a stacked team that's just blowing everyone out every game, and there's no challenge there, and you lose interest, and suddenly your game's in, and you're giving up on a game after sinking a lot of time into what would otherwise be a very enjoyable mode.
Yeah, I agree with that. And as far as AI trades go, I feel that 2K13 took a step in the right direction. As far as that goes, I mean, I'm in January right now in my association, almost through half of the season, and I've only seen a couple of trades that have actually made some sense. I haven't seen any weird trades happening, superstars moving around for bench warmers or anything like that. Just a couple of trades by January, which makes a lot of sense. And I'm looking forward to seeing if there's increased trades happening as we get closer to the trade deadline in February. So. But yeah, I feel it's a step in the right direction, and you can always turn CPU trades off. I've seen a lot of people doing association stories saying they only turn CPU trades on a month before the trade deadline to try to keep the whole association as realistic as possible, and that's why I felt that the Rockets trade, the Rockets standard trade, was a bit timed weirdly in the after a few games have happened, not in the off season. And But you know, trades like that happen, and if 2K improves on that and manages to, you know, have trades happen that actually make some sense, maybe make performance a factor, maybe give us that feature on different teams tending to build in different ways, you know, GM personalities, team personalities, rebuilding strategies. That would make for a big improvement on the association, and that's how I feel. And you talked a bit about player progression, and the major point of a major gripe with the game, especially for people that tend to simulate seasons and go through a lot of them, is that the tendencies go all wrong, because the game seems to have a predetermined way of growing tendencies, and big men tend to have their 3-point tendency grow a whole lot more than it should. I mean, why would the player's 3-point tendency grow when his 3-point rating hasn't grown? Is he just growing more stupid as years go by? And you see centers putting up putting up 3-pointers come season 2 and 3 and more as the seasons go by, and having really bad 3-point ratings for no reason whatsoever, which really screws up both the simulation aspect of the game and also the gameplay aspect of the game, because tendencies affect the game as well. So you're playing and you're suddenly seeing Dwight Howard in the third season putting up threes. And it really, you know, messes with the game. So it's really small stuff like that, small improvements that wouldn't require an overhaul, of the mode, wouldn't require 2K to build the mode from the ground up. It's just small improvements that are long overdue that would make association an even better mode, and you know, incentivize people like me and you to actually, you know, enjoy the game, and make sure to buy it, even with all its you know, shortcomings, whatever they may be each year.
Yeah, do you think we'll actually see it though? I mean, there's obviously online is becoming more and more of a priority. We've got online association now. I haven't really gotten into that myself. I'm not sure if you've really spent a lot of time with that, but do you think we'll actually see the offline experience get the same attention as, well, we've seen attention paid to my career, of course, but do you think we'll see the same attention paid to association in the upcoming years?
About online association first, there's a really good reason I haven't played any MMO RPGs yet, any massive multiplayer online RPGs yet. People, I don't like them particularly. I don't like people particularly, and I don't like people playing with them online, especially if my whole experience is dependent on how good or bad they are, or on how you know, cheesy or seem like they are. Online association, especially private ones, offers you a way to make sure that you're only playing with people you enjoy playing against, and we've already used that as a workaround to play with friends in the PC version of 2K13, because such a feature is missing, and you have to use online association to, you know, arrange a game with a friend. So I've only used that for that. But I'm not much of an online guy. I like playing with a friend now and then, but I like having a realistic, you know, experience. You know, seeing other teams play as the real life counterparts, having, you know, actual progression in the game, feeling like I'm progressing, and an offline association offers everything I need. And as long as I've tweaked the AI to my liking with the rosters and sliders, which came really early this year, I'm pretty much set. I'm pretty much set as far as game modes go. I was only interested in playing my team because I felt like the proper rosters would take a long time to come out. I wouldn't have teams would be missing too many players like they are in the official roster right now, and that I would be more interesting in a fantasy league, where I would be, all the players would be mixed up. I would be getting a whole different experience out of the game. But since we have proper rosters, I find myself way more interested in offline association. So I'm not dependent on when my friends can play the game, when they can join me so that we can play a game. And I'm in Greece, so time difference makes it really hard to actually, you know, get together with people, because most of the market is in China and the US. So it's really hard to, you know, find people to play with in my position. And on the point you were making on whether we will see those features in the game, those association features I was talking about, I can't be too optimistic about that. I mean, 2K's focus is pretty much obvious. It's had a lot of success with my career, even with all its shortcomings and bugs and problems. It's obviously paying much attention to its online modes. It finally brought a decent online experience across the board with a retail game. It even went as far as to introduce online in the demo, which showed a lot of confidence, and that confidence has paid out because the online portion of the game seems to be pretty good connection-wise and lag-wise and everything as far as that goes. And online association is interesting, and it has its problems. I mean, people have said that they can't progress past Season 1, and it's to be expected. NBA 2K games will always have bugs. That's the story with 2K, but I'm not really... unless a major change of focus happens with 2K, I'm not really seeing association having a large enough market to actually warrant, to actually incentivize 2K to pay too much attention to the mode. I mean, the only major improvement supposedly to the mode was the total sim control, which people that have studied the game extensively and how it simulates and how it plays out when you're playing the game and when simulating the game. And Slim44 from our community, he also participates actively in Operation Sports, has studied the game. He had a page-long thread with just his posts explaining how each rating, how each tendency affects the game, and his ratings and tendencies are the most respected out there. They're up there with Van Gogh Hawk's playbook edits. And if he says that total sync control is disappointing, it's a cool concept, but it offers too little choice and results in too little change in the engine. It's obvious that they wanted to just, you know, get something out there to say, hey, we've worked on association mode, but they've only managed to disappoint. It's not a big change. It doesn't a total sim control doesn't seem to do much. Maybe the trade AI has been tweaked a bit. I've not seen too many trades happen, and the trades that have happened have made sense, as I said previously. So maybe that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what we can take out of association. And for association to be realistic, you know, the major prerequisite is realistic rosters. And when 2K has neglected to bring guaranteed players that have multiple year-long contracts guaranteed in the league to bring them in the game, it seems like they're not really interested. They're not really focusing on making the game association-wise as realistic as possible. So I'm not really putting any money on 2K working on those features. I'm just saying they're features that make sense, that wouldn't require too much work, and that would make the association a much more realistic mode.
Yeah, I'd like to remain optimistic, but like you, I think their focus is, as you said, elsewhere. I think even a lot of their polls have shown that polls have thrown on their official Facebook page have shown that you know, online modes or my career tend to be more popular these days. So I guess they're catering to the crowd that's what the crowd wants. Hopefully, they will just make a few more tweaks under the hood and resolve some of those issues. You keep working on the total sim control. The fact that they are adding a few token, making a few token additions, suggests that they're not getting rid of it completely. And I don't think you could get rid of it completely because
they did get rid of the D-League, though.
They did get rid of that. They might get rid of a small thing here and there, but as far as trashing the whole mode, scrapping that, I think there's still probably enough people still playing it offline to justify giving it some attention. But it will be interesting to see what they do on the next generation as well.
Yeah.
Whether they put a bit more attention to that, how much they've got to time they're going to dedicate to getting their gameplay working with the new technology as well, whether they'll just port across the old association and just leave it as is. Hopefully we do get a few more tweaks and fixes. It was nice to get some this year, although for some reason Goran Dragic is averaging 11 assists per game in all the associations I've simulated, and a couple of other people in the forum have noted that as well. So whether that's just a rating that's been overlooked, perhaps.
Yeah. And we've had, thankfully, we've had a lot of proper rosters with proper ratings come out early this year. And if I have to recommend, if you're having issues with your association that I have to, and you want my recommendation on the roster, just try out whatever Slim 44 brings out. It's been a great experience. And once Van Wolf Hawk comes out with his playbook edits, and once they're introduced in the roster, just restart your association. It's going to be, or your my career, it's going to be a completely different experience. It was last year with 2K12. I saw a world of difference in the gameplay, in the way the game played when those edits were introduced. So check those out. See if the game gets any better, and I'm pretty sure it will get much better once you tweak the game using some better rosters and sliders to your liking. But if I had to guess what 2K's main focus would be from here on out, I mean, it has to transition to the next generation consoles, and it remains to be seen what their main points of focus will be in the first iterations of the new consoles. We still have no idea what they'll focus on improving when the new consoles come out, or if it's going to be a few awkward years where they're trying to adjust. But if I had to point out one thing that the community is requesting, I'm expecting 2K to pay attention to again, is crew. It's been the most requested feature for NBA to come back to NBA 2K, and they introduced the 3v3 blacktop mode where you can bring your my players to it and, you know, have some fun with it. So they try to satisfy a bit those that were requesting crew, but they didn't seem to get a proper crew mode out this year. But if I had to guess, I'd guess they're working on bringing that back, because they have to focus on what gets them the most sales possible. And if association isn't going high enough in the polls, but crew is number one, it's to be expected that they'll focus on that next. But we can only remain hopeful that association will continue to get some love. I'd really love to see the D-League come back. Even if it was generic last year, it allowed you to do some moves which are required, you know, make space in your roster, get the players down to the D-Leagues just so that they can get some playing time, and you avoided players getting disgruntled and requesting trades and, you know, ruining your whole team chemistry if they actually went down to the D-League. If they were young enough, weren't big stars or upcoming stars, and you got them to the D-League, they would just shut up and be satisfied. Well, that's not even an option this year, and I was disappointed to see that. But I can only stay hopeful, like you are, that association is going to get some improvements in the coming years.
I suppose the good thing is, it is a fairly deep mode, as is. It delivers a pretty good experience on the whole, so even if there are disappointing elements to it, we can at least enjoy it enough for what it is, compared to what NBA Live has done with its Dynasty mode, which is really lagged behind. I mean, obviously NBA Live has got a lot of areas where it's, we could say it's lagged behind NBA.
Yeah, today. Because the last release was in 2009.
But even comparing them at the time, what they were doing with Association.
Okay.
Where Dynasty was at, it had fallen by the wayside and just not received the attention that it needed, mainly because they were trying to upgrade, change the gameplay and everything in implement the new technology there, I suppose, the focus elsewhere. So once again, it comes down to what they're focused on. But hopefully those modes will receive some attention and at the very least be deep enough and playable and enjoyable. We'll see how that goes, I guess, in the years to come.
So, question, do you think that EA, whenever it comes back with NBA Live, should go up and try to compete with the major features of 2K, like, presentation and maybe, my career? Or should it try to fill the gaps that 2K is leaving open and bring us a great dynasty, a really deep dynasty mode, along with, what else could 2K, could Live, EA be filling with Live that 2K is missing? I mean, I'd really love to see a Dynasty mode, but then again, if it doesn't come on PC, I won't be able to play it. But if it does come on PC and it does have a Dynasty mode, or even if it's just for Xbox 360 and I somehow manage to get my hands on one, or an Xbox 720, or whatever the next one is going to be called, do you think that EA should go for a deep dynasty mode to try and compete with EA, with the 2K by getting the hardcore dynasty fans over?
I'd say that would be a good approach because it doesn't have the single player career mode. It was supposed to make its debut in NBA Elite 11. Was Jordan Brandon? I can't remember the name off the top of my head right now. Become Legendary. Become Legendary is what it was called. That was their answer to my player, my career. If they've got that mode, I guess they should support it in the game. I don't think it's going to compete with the depth of my career straight away. They've probably got a better chance of enhancing what they've done with the Dynasty to make it closer to Association. A lot of that is just tweaks and a few minor additions here and there and fixes. They could certainly have a deep experience there. Probably their best option is going to be to compete is going to be online because EA's always had pretty good online support, and whereas 2K's, although it's improved this year, has been historically a little bit spotty. Mm-hmm. But as you say, filling the gaps might be the way to go. They've also got the FIBA license. They might still have it, in which case they can also add that content with FIBA.
Yeah.
So they can fill out different areas there, and much the same way as 2K has done with the historical themes, I suppose, that for people who do get the two games, you could have, okay, so you play your My Career in NBA 2K13 because it's the best one for a single-player career mode. You might play the NBA Live for your online games or your Dynasty or the FIBA Championship, and you might then go back to 2K for the historical themes. So,
yeah.
So if you're getting if both games are strong and both games, more importantly, are coming out, and people can either choose between them and sort of have a pretty good experience from either one, or if they pick up both of them, they can kind of go between them and get what they can from one and what they can't, they can hopefully get from the other. So certainly filling the gaps would be a good strategy, I think, for NBA Live. But again, they've got a few things to iron out first before they can enhance some of their modes to compete with 2K. But hopefully they're going to have enough time to do it whenever they come back. Yeah, I think they have to come back with a strong game across the board, and whether they can surpass or equal 2K in certain areas might not ever happen. Certainly probably won't happen straight away, but I think they do have to come back, and if they can fill the gaps with make up for things where 2K isn't quite as strong, that's definitely going to help them, but certainly they should be trying to not do everything that 2K has done, but certainly look for the same kind of success and then try and succeed in the same areas, because it is a sim game. I know people laugh whenever you say NBA Live is a sim game. That I think is confusing results with intention. The results is that it hasn't always been hasn't turned out to be a particularly accurate simulation, but that's always been the intent to make the simulation style of game. If they want to succeed in that area, then they obviously should look at what 2K has done and ape some of the things they've done very well. But yeah, the effort's got to be there. It's got to be there across the board. And I just hope they can do it because I go a long way back with NBA Live, growing up playing it. And I still believe that, as we've said before, competition is important for both sides. And competition and choice, good for the consumer at the end of the day.
Yeah, no. Let me give you my recipe for success for NBA, for the NBA Live's comeback. Give us a great dynasty mode. Make the rosters secretly an Excel spreadsheet. Make the assets Photoshop files. And great post-release support. So Dynasty mode, make it secretly really moddable and bring it to the PC so that it's even more moddable than NBA 2K, and that it ends up getting a mod that's even bigger than the Ultimate Base Roster. Give us that possibility, and we'll be sure to make the most of that. And great post-release support. And I have to say that as much as I hate EA, they've made a point of having great post-release support for their sports franchises as of late. Both FIFA has already gotten patches. Madden NFL is constantly getting roster updates. I mean, is it a weekly basis? It's constantly getting roster updates. A controversial thing that was missing of the out of the game was introduced in the first patch of the game, and they are constantly patching and updating. So that's another thing that 2K is lagging in. It's post-release support. They've made a point of getting assets out and maybe updating the rosters a bit, but they're still missing a lot of guaranteed players, as we've said. So there are holes that EA could be filling when it comes back with its own offering. And even though we've said that NBA 2K13 it has a decent online experience, there's still much to be done in that aspect. I mean, it's still missing lobbies, it's still missing proper ways to play with your friends. It's still missing online association is there, but it definitely could use improvement, and it has a lot of problems. So EA has those things that 2K is lagging in. So there are holes to be filled, and EA had better try to fill these holes. And I feel that's going to be a much more successful strategy, as you've pointed out, rather than going head on with what 2K has established and worked on over the years, such as the micro-career mode as it is in NBA 2K13 and all its all the improvements and optimization and depth it has right now. So it would be silly to try and go up and compete with that. So if it gets a good dynasty mode, it offers a lot of online features, and it offers the level of post-release support that Madden and FIFA have, I'm really confident it could make a strong comeback and build a foundation that's going to entice people to try the game as the franchise reboots itself and improves with its coming year, if it doesn't scrap NBA Live altogether, which would be really disappointing. So fingers crossed, NBA Live makes its comeback, focuses on the right things, and brings us a good sim game, maybe a dynasty mode focused game for you and me and all the dynasty guys out there, and gets us a good game when it does come out. So yeah.
One more point on that is the post-release support. Their partnership with Synergy Sports could really give them an edge there, because with NBA Live 10, the last game to come out, obviously, when they were feeding through the Synergy Sports updates, they were coming through every day with updates. And even when players that weren't in the game were playing, they'd come through as like dummy players, sort of generic ratings and such. And then sort of in the next day or two, EA would update those dummy players with proper attributes and ratings and such, as they got more DNA data for them and were able to get through to sort of the more extensive updates at least once a week on top of the daily updates. So we still had the players coming through and being added to the roster. So when it was all said and done, the rosters were actually pretty complete by the end of the season. And even if they weren't updating players, I believe they were set as created, so you could actually go in and change the appearance and all the ratings yourself. So you could, even though it was a console, basically make a good roster update with the players that they'd added. So that was quite handy. So that's how they could probably beat 2K support, and with the roster updates especially. It's a very confusing situation that's going on with the official rosters. Have you seen the post on 2K Sports, on Operation Sports, that they investigated the claims that the guaranteed players and non-guaranteed players couldn't be included, and noted that quite a few non-guaranteed players had been included in the latest update, but
guaranteed players haven't.
So we don't know what the truth is there, what the exact situation is, and
yeah,
reasonably forthcoming about it, so we can only guess as to why certain players are making the cut and done. Maybe they've got faces ready to go for some of them and others they don't, and they're not sort of bothering to do it, but it is disappointing. It's disappointing for what's otherwise a very good game, basically.
Yeah.
It deserves better than support has been getting.
And as you said, if EA can keep that deal going with the Synergy, and because Synergy is devoted to actually studying and giving studying the players and how they play and their stats and everything, so they are a whole group of people devoted to that, while whoever is the 2K insider or whoever's working on the 2K rosters or whatever team, if it is a team behind the rosters working on them, has gotten a lot of criticism, both for not including all the players or for the ratings and the rating changes and everything. So EA could really get an advantage there if they still have the deal with Synergy and implemented the game as well as live-tended, or even better, in a wider manner, in a deeper manner than live-tend.
Absolutely.
What's next on the discussion?
I guess we've come to the latest NBA happenings. NBA and not virtual hoops.
Mm-hmm. We asked the community. Let's start with that. Let's start with what the community mentioned. Were their most surprising teams for this season so far? Any answers that got your attention? I really feel. Go on. Go first.
The popular answer for the most surprising team from a positive sense, and I have to agree. They're after the way they finished last season, the worst record in the league, and that huge losing streak to end the year, record setting, I believe, from memory. The fact they've turned around and actually been winning and winning against a few decent teams at least has been quite impressive. And it's early days, and I noted last week in the podcast that the Utah Jazz had a similar start in the 2005 season. They won six of their first seven. I ended up looking it up. They won six of their first seven, and I think seven of their first 10, and were sort of at the top of the league, top of the West, and then ended the season 26-56. So things can certainly turn around over the course of an 82-game season, but certainly early on, the Bobcats, I'd have to agree with the community that they're the, along with the Knicks and perhaps even the Grizzlies, but certainly the Bobcats are the most surprising team from a positive point of view.
Yeah. I'm really surprised myself on how well the Warriors have done so far. I mean, maybe they've been pretty lucky because their performances have not been call home about. But they're on an 8-6 so far. They're on top of the Pacific Division along with the Los Angeles Clippers. But their performances put them, third. Actually, in that division, and it's a strong division with the Clippers and the Lakers. So I'm not seeing that continuing for for much longer. Was I expecting the Wizards to play better? But it's really sad to see them going 0-12 to begin the season. I can only imagine how frustrated John Wall must be, after his injury and to see the team being so bad without him. He still hasn't returned, and they're doing really, really bad without him. So, fingers crossed. People like Singleton and Wesley, who are the rookies this year. We'll have John Wall to play again, alongside them soon, and get some wins back to Washington. It's been a really disappointing year for them.
Yeah, I could see them breaking the record Nets set a couple of years ago when they went on that big losing streak to begin the season. I've got a feeling they might they've certainly will challenge that if not break it. It's been a very tough start for them. The Pacers are another team that's been mentioned as among the are surprisingly bad teams. I don't know about that because they've lost Danny Granger, so they're sort of not they're not at full strength. So it's not a total shock that they're a bit mediocre so far. Much the same way as the Bulls are actually losing their best player. You're obviously not going to get off to a great start of the season, especially with some a healthy amount of road games. Trying to win without your best player in hostile territory. The Wizards we mentioned there. The Lakers, I guess, are probably the classic example that most people are throwing out there for the start of the season. 7-7 at the moment. They're a good run there, but still a few things to work out there, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And the Rockets are improving. They're now almost at 500 with 6-7. So it seems like the trade has worked out well for them, and that they'll only, you know, keep becoming better from now on with Harden on the team. And Grizzlies have been as strong as ever. They've been right up there with the strongest win percentage of the season so far, and the strongest performances of the season so far. So it's really nice to see them being up there and being competitive. I see my Pistons being surprisingly bad. I wouldn't say they're surprisingly bad. They are on 4-11 right now, which is really bad. But it was as I mentioned, there's no big star to lead them. Stucky has been underperforming, and Stucky has never been, you know, the big leader that the Pistons were, you know, putting their money on him being. Actually, I said Wesley and Singleton are rookies. No, they're on the second year, but still, they're. Well, for the Wizards, let me just make that correction. But, you know, the Pistons have a lot of rookies this year, and Lawrence Frank is already being criticized a lot for his roster choices and not playing Drummond enough. Drummond is really climbing the ranks. Reports all over the league and major outlets are coming as him being the most surprisingly good player of this year's draft. Because everyone was saying that he's raw, that he has a really high ceiling, but not they don't know if they would if he would ever reach that potential. But he's been putting up really great performances, and I'm really frustrated at Lawrence Frank for not playing him more. He was exceptional in that close win. We earned. I'm drawing a blank on who it was against. Let me check that out. But his per minute stats are really, really, really impressive. It was against the Raptors. That close win against the Raptors, Drummond was amazing. He played 24 minutes and grabbed 13 rebounds and 13 points in 24 minutes. I mean, those are amazing numbers, and his player efficiency rating, his PER is at 20. His per minute ratings have him grabbing almost 13 rebounds every 36 minutes. I mean, he's a powerhouse. He's a powerhouse, and he's not being utilized properly, if you ask me. He should be getting the Pistons are pretty much screwed this year. They're not fighting for the playoffs. They're not fighting for the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference. So just give up playing the veterans. Just give up playing those supposedly sure players. And just focus on growing your core rookies for the years to come. And Drummond should be in there, should be playing a lot of minutes alongside Gregor Monroe, and to make sure that we have that powerhouse on the forward spots, and that we can, you know, maybe have Singler on the 2 or 3, and then focus on getting better in the backcourt, because neither Knight nor Stacky are playing well enough to guarantee them being there as starters for, you know, for the future. Kim Inglis has been playing really well. A rookie, a second round pick for the Pistons this year, has been playing really well, but has been getting almost no minutes and has been missing for a lot of games because Corey Maggette came back from an injury. Big surprise there. So anyway, it will be interesting to see if the Pistons manage to bounce back, what will the Lawrence Frank situation will be. I mean, he's even been criticized by his own players, and that can never be good. I mean, Tayshaun Prince, a player that has devoted his career to the Pistons. Last year, he was expected to leave to, you know, follow on Richard Hamilton's shoes and join a winning team, to maybe get a championship after 2004 and get a championship again before his career comes to an end. But he decided to stay with the Pistons, stay loyal to the Pistons. He's not playing that well, but he's putting up some consistent performances as always when you average his games. And he even came out and criticized Lawrence Frank for keeping the veterans so long in the game, even when they're not performing and not utilizing the rookies enough to make sure they grow around each other. I mean, when a team is rebuilding and you want to build a core, you need to have all the players in that core playing alongside each other. So I would want to see Brandon Knight, Kim Inglis, Kyle Singler, Greg Monroe, and Drummond be the core group of the Pistons going forward. So what about your Bulls? How have they been performing with Rose still indefinitely out and no news on that front?
It's been a couple of frustrating losses. Today, they blew a 27-point lead to the Bucks at home. The Bucks have been playing well, but they just beat the Bucks in Milwaukee 2 days ago, I believe, a few days ago now. So I hope they just dropped the second of that home-and-home series with them. Yeah, giving up a huge lead. So that's very frustrating, but it's kind of the way I expect it to go without a player like Rose in the fourth quarter to take over and Wells fail ball in his hands, let him create, let him take the big shots as the team's primary scorer and distributor. Without that kind of player on there, you're going to get those late game knockdowns. I still think they should have won it. Should have been they should be doing a little bit better than they are. I think they've lost a couple of games like that in the last couple of minutes, the fourth quarter as a whole. It's hard to really say what to do. I think it's one of those cases where they don't really have any young players that should be getting time. They've just got a fairly good, a solid group of veterans at the moment, and a few good young players in such as Noah. It's pretty much a case of waiting to see what happens with Rose. I mean, long term, that's what's going to be their success, is Rose coming back at full strength. So at the moment, I'm just sort of trying not to make too much of the losses, hoping that they can stay competitive with what they've got. Tom Thibodeau will be able to write the ship in the meantime and keep them competitive, and that everyone will keep putting in the effort. And who knows when Rose is coming back? And Air Gordon has mentioned in the full thread in the forum that they have a history of being very very cautious with their players when they're injured. Michael Jordan being a classic example when he broke his foot in his second season in the league. And I'm all for that if he's got a lot of money invested in him and he is the future of the team. So if making sure he comes back and not re-injuring that ACL is that means playing him some limited minutes or even sitting out the whole season, turning full strength next year, so be it. I mean, had a couple of good years the last couple of seasons up until he went down in the first round of the playoffs, which is very disappointing, of course. But sometimes you've got to accept that down year and know that they're in a pretty decent position having a player like Rose coming back at some point in the future.
Yeah. And I have to agree on a comment by user I can pronounce your name. I'm sorry, Mo. He makes a point that Minnesota have been pretty decent without Rubio and Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love. And Ricky Rubio has been a heartbreaking story. I mean, he was so exciting to watch. He was playing so well. His court vision, his passing were amazing. He was already getting compared to being able to grow to be a new Steve Nash on that position, and he again on October 2nd, he got injured. He required left knee surgery. He's out indefinitely. Kevin Love is out with a broken right hand. He broke it before in the preseason as well. But the Timberwolves have been able to be near 500. They are 5-7 right now, so I can only imagine how good they would be if Rubio and Love were both in that team playing at their usual standards. Both Love and Rubio are very good at their positions. Timberwolves are missing them dearly, and I'd love to see them both back as soon as possible and see the Timberwolves perform well. If they're already 5-7 without those two players that play a big role for them, it's going to make for a really interesting Northwest Division going forward. If and when Rubio and Love come back, I mean, there's the Thunder, of course, to go up against. There's the Nuggets. There's the Jazz, who, as you've said, have been performing well, but are not expected to keep their good streak going for much longer. But I want to see the Timberwolves. I want to see Rubio, and thus the Timberwolves, be back and be, playing as well as possible. So there's that.
I had a look. Kevin Love actually has returned. He's played three
Oh,
games.
he did? I missed that. I was looking up. I'm not really, I was looking up the Timberwolves page on Basketball Reference that has had Kevin Love as, as out. But if he did come back, it's nice to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has been the first three games of the season, and he's. Yeah. Okay, that's nice to see that he's back and that he's finally producing. He's actually put up 14 rebounds per game in his first three games. So that's how much the Timberwolves were missing a guy like that. He's producing at 24 points per game, 14 rebounds per game, 2 assists, two steals per game. An amazing performance all around. So. It's really nice to see him back, and as I said, I can only imagine how good the Timberwolves will be once they get the playmaker that Ricky Rubio is back.
Yeah, that was a big disappointment, along with the injury to Rose. And last year, we had a few players hit by injury, and Andrew Bock, of course, is out now for the Sixers, hasn't played a game for them, may never play a game for them. His contract may expire, and he may be moving on before he ever suits up with them. But certainly a lot of players, which you hate to see. You want to see the best players, teams at their best, the best players out there doing what they do best, and all the teams being competitive. But it's no fun to sort of see the team so depleted and not at their best. You want to see them doing all those amazing things, and hopefully Rubio is back very soon. But he and Rose, I think Shumpert of the Knicks, and Jeremy Lin as well, he is back, but had a lot of players go down with those knee injuries last year, and it wasn't fun to see at all.
Yeah, as you said, the Shumpert is out, and he got injured in the early preseason, and he's expected to miss 2 to 3 months, so there's that. And Stoudemire is out. The Knicks are having a lot of trouble, and there seems to be a lot of major injuries this year. After, we were expecting to see more of them last year, with the condensed schedule and the 66 games, and the teams having 3 games in a row and having to adjust to that. But a lot of major team-breaking injuries seem to have happened in the preseason and in the early season, and it's disappointing to miss so many of the big stars that the league has to offer. And it's always disappointing to see young guys that were expected to make a big splash, a big difference in the league. So, and especially in their development years, the years that you don't want to spend injured, the years that you're developing your talent, and that can be, make or break if you have such a long injury. The talent is still going to be there, but are you going to be able to perform as well as you were expected to after all the injuries? I mean, Tracy McGrady was touted in his early years to be a really great player, and the injuries hindered them throughout his whole career. And we saw how mediocre he was in his last years when he played for the Pistons last year. But it's really disappointing to see guys like Rubio having only played 21 games in their career in the NBA so far, after being so impressive and being so impressive in them as well. 8 assists per game for a rookie playmaker. That's absolutely impressive. That's absolutely impressive. And I have to say, I don't know if I'm going to get, yells, any yells or name calling for that, but I really believe rebounds are much easier for a tall player to grab, rather than assists are for a playmaker, no matter his skill, because assists require that, besides you being able to pass well, it require your team to be able to shoot well as well, to be able to find your teammates where they're most successful in shooting. So I really believe that 8 assists per game out of Rubio in his rookie year are much more impressive than the 13 rebounds that maybe Drummond's grabbing every 36 minutes. So yeah, I really, 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 really want to see Ricky Rubio come back.
No, I mean, injuries are a part of the game, but yeah, fingers crossed we're going to see all those guys back and back the way we saw them before the injuries, and that they're not hit by that, because those guys are, they're all young guys and they've got a lot of years ahead of them. We want to see them at their best and back soon.
Yeah. So that pretty much brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Before we leave, let us introduce our question of the week. We discussed a little bit earlier in the podcast what improvements we'd like to see to the association and dynasty modes to make them more realistic. So what are your suggestions? I mean, we've seen a lot of suggestions in the wish list, but what do you think, based on what we've seen so far from 2K and EA, what do you think are the how much realism do you look for in your association dynasty modes? Do you play realistically? Do you just bend the rules and use the game's mediocre trade AI and roster AI to your advantage to get the new hit going for yourself, and just dominate the game? Do you look for realism in association and dynasty? What do you do while in those modes to make sure they're as realistic as possible? Are you basing your work on proper rosters and sliders? Do you switch trades off? Do you control all 30 teams? What's your cup of tea? What's your recipe for a realistic association or dynasty? And if you'd like, give us a few suggestions on what would get Association Dynasty to the next level. Maybe EA employees will be scouting the forums for your suggestions and will be listening to the podcast to actually, come back with a strong dynasty mode. And all those suggestions could go a long way towards them making a big comeback. Yeah, that's hoping. So that's pretty much it. I think, Andrew, anything else on your mind?
Yeah, just once again, thank you everyone who continues to upload to our download section. Once again, our upload facilities are free. All you need is a forum account. You can upload files up to 100 megabytes in size. If you need larger file hosting, please get in contact with us and we'll see what we can do. But yeah, please keep them coming. And yes, congratulations to the modding community for a great job so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree on that. Hoping that the good work keeps up and that we, as I said, I can't wait to see what 2K13 will have grown to be come summer. So for a podcast that we didn't have a lot to discuss, we definitely went long. So I'm not going to apologize for it. I really hope you enjoy those long podcasts as much as we enjoy doing them, and we'll be with you next week to discuss all the developments as well on NBA 2K and all the league discussion and something new, and your answers, of course, on how realistic you want your association to be and what do you do to that end. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for being a member of the NLC community. And we'll see you next week. Until then, have fun. Take care.
See you guys.